I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Marcy Allen. Marcy is the president of New York City-based music experiential agency, MAC Presents. She leverages her 20 years of music industry experience to negotiate high-profile sponsorships between the world's leading brands and artists. Marcy has executed partnerships on behalf of a whole host of brands, and they include Delta, Microsoft, Jeep, Samsung, Citi, Sony, Southwest Airlines, Verizon, and AT&T. I'm sure there are lots more. And on the artist side, Marcy has represented Foo Fighters, Green Day, John Legend, Billy Joel, Imagine Dragons, The Who, Rolling Stones, and Keith Urban. I'm sure there are lots more there, too. Marcy is a 9-time nominee and 4-time winner of Billboard's Concert Marketing and Promotion Award. She was named to Billboard's Women in Music for the years 2010 through 2014. She was named Billboard's 40 Under 40 in 2013 and Billboard's Humanitarian of the Year Award. Also in 2013, Marcy was honored by the White House as one of their Hurricane Sandy Champions of Change. Marcy, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you on.
Thank you so much. Very happy to be here.
And I had the pleasure of meeting you at the AX3 event for live entertainment professionals, brands, agencies, and suppliers, and heard a little bit of your story, and it was just really intriguing. So I wondered if we could start off by you telling us a little bit about your background, your story, and frankly, why it is that you do what you do.
I love music. I know that's a simple explanation, but it's very true. I've loved music from the time I was a little girl and was raised by my grandparents, and my grandfather was a very famous radio DJ in Nashville, Tennessee, where I was raised, and he used to play albums every Saturday morning, and I got the bug and just fell in love with music and wanted to be involved because I'm a horrible singer, even in the shower, and unfortunately cannot play an instrument. And so started booking bands, I guess when I was 16 in high school, and then went to Rhodes College in Memphis, Tennessee, and started booking bands for my sorority tryout there for 3 years. And then at the age of 21, was able to secure an internship, summer internship in Washington, D.C., at Live Nation at the time. It was Cellar Door Concerts. And then right before I was getting ready to head back to school, I had my car packed to drive back to Memphis for my senior year in college. They offered me a full-time job as director of marketing, and I just couldn't turn it down. So it was one of those pivotal moments that you're at a crossroads. And I decided to stay at Cellar Door Live Nation. And then was there for a couple of years, and obviously Cellar Door was sold to SFX. And in 97, moved back to Nashville and worked at William Morris Endeavor as an assistant. And then started my first company at the age of 25 called Mad Booking and Events to book festivals and colleges. And ended up having that agency for 5 years, and we owned festivals in Memphis, Nashville, Atlanta, and D.C. Did, over 100-and-something festivals over 5 years. And those were all funded by corporate sponsorships. And back in 2000, you know, it was very rare for a brand to be associated with an artist. So in 2004, I decided to start MAC Presents and focus on really bridging that gap between the music industry and corporate America, because there was such a need for that. Someone that could speak the music industry language, but also speak, you know, corporate America and work with Fortune 50 and Fortune 100 brands and help them navigate the music space. So I created MAC Presents August of 2004. And then in January of 2000, January of 2010, decided to move to New York City to be closer to the brands and the action and move my agency up here, and it's just completely exploded. And now we work on behalf of brands on a project basis. You mentioned obviously a lot of the brands, and I leverage my relationships with all the managers in the music industry and record labels that I've had for the past 21 years. And here we are.
Talk to me a little bit about identifying a need in the marketplace, because clearly that was a pivotal thing that you did, identifying the fact that there wasn't someone who was really successfully representing brands in the music industry.
Correct. And I, it was a huge void that I felt like needed to be filled. And, you know, my grandfather gave me advice many, many years ago. He said, to be successful in the music industry, you need to be a bit of a chameleon. You need to be able to adapt, and you need to find a niche. So that's what I did. And when I was doing music festivals back in 2000 to 2004, Coachella, Bonnaroo, ACL, none of those festivals were around. But then as the market became saturated, I decided to shift and focus on what I felt that I really, probably my biggest attribute and what I do best, which is selling. And because I'm so passionate about music, I think that my passion and creativity comes through when I'm dealing with one of my brand clients.
What was the feeling that went through you when you thought that there was a need in the marketplace for
the feeling
help with the brand? Yeah.
It's excitement.
Delve a little bit into that.
I think it's excitement. I think that you're always up for a challenge, and I felt as though no one else was really doing this, and that I could jump in there and really own the space and help craft the space. You know, I think there's a lot of people who think that there's a rule book when you're sitting down to do an artist sponsorship or endorsement deal, but there's not. We're all a bunch of cowboys and Indians running around. I always say, I don't represent either side, I represent the deal, because if there's not a successful deal that both the artist and the brand are happy about, no one wins. And I cringe when I see, you know, and these deals out there that are not authentic and aren't telling a story between a brand and an artist, because it's so important. And I also applaud the ones that do, you know, even if it's, you know, with one of my competitors. I mean, there are other agencies that do obviously do what I do now. But back in 2004, there was not very many. There was obviously a lot of experiential agencies, but most of them focused on sports or fashion or, you know, culinary.
So even though formally you're representing the brands, you want to make sure that both sides come out of the deal feeling really positive.
Absolutely. I represent the brands. That's what Mac Presents does. We always represent the brands. But I want to make sure that the artists are happy with the deal too. That's very important to me. And it's important to the brand.
So what are some of the things what are some of the tips you can offer for somebody who is in the same kind of position that you're in, where you're trying to create a positive outcome for two parties, and you want to make sure that everybody's happy? What are some tips you can offer?
You have to understand where both sides of the party are coming from. What's a win? Why are you doing this partnership, and what's a win? How are you going to measure your ROI, your return on your investment? Is it impressions? Is it PR? Is it a lift in product sales? What is it? Because then once you have identified that, you can make sure that it hopefully happens.
So in your own process, what have been some of your ups and downs?
Oh, wow. That's a big question. I would have to say that for ups, because I like to focus on the positive, It is becoming a stepmother 2.5 years ago when I remarried. And just the joy of being a mom. I have two stepdaughters who are 7 and 10, and they're just the joy of my life. And they put everything that I do on a daily basis into perspective. And I think that in the craziness of the music industry, the hurricane of the music industry, it's very easy to get lost. And while all of the deals that I work on and programs and awards are fantastic, and it shows the hard work that my team at MAC Presents has put forth, to me, what touches me the most is when I go to a parent-teacher conference and I see that my stepdaughter has written a story about me, about what her favorite day is and how it's spending time with myself and my husband. Like that means more to me than winning the biggest award in the music industry. As far as downs, I would have to say probably one of the biggest was when my grandfather, my mentor, my father who raised me, passed away in 1997. That was probably definitely, and I wish he was here to see the success that I've had over the past 20 years, because it's really because of his leadership and him inspiring me, encouraging me for so many years, sending me to college, paying for private school and high school for me. He really was, it was a game changer for me. So that was probably one of my, as far as business low points, I don't know, maybe I'm different. I don't look at losing the deal or, you know, having a bad article written about you as a down. It's part of the game. It's part of the industry. You roll with it. There's peaks and valleys.
With everything. Yeah, I think it's so true. It's so true. In business, how do you manage the emotional aspects of the ups and downs of business while managing to keep moving forward on the tactics?
You can't get emotional about it. You can be passionate about what you do, but at the end of the day, it's business. And there's decisions that have to be made that are very difficult. You know, there's been the biggest artists in the world have come to us and said, I want to work with your brand client. But if it doesn't make sense business-wise, it doesn't matter how passionate and how excited you are about the deal. If it doesn't make sense to both sides, there's not a deal to be had.
It sounds pretty simple.
Well, I think that a lot of people make it out to be a lot more difficult than it is. Of course it's hard. There's so many sacrifices you have to give when you own a company in the music industry. You fight for every deal, you fight for every dollar, especially as a woman. But it doesn't mean that you have to sit and lick your wounds and cry and say that it was hard, because of course it's hard. Life is hard. But if you're passionate about it and you love it, you want to do it. You want to, I mean, people always say, you know, why do you do this? And I said, I want to help pave the way, continue to help pave the way, because obviously it's been done by many fabulous women over years of experience in the music industry. But I want to continue to help pave the way for women in the music industry so they understand that they can do anything that they put their mind and their heart to.
And are there things that you've done that have catapulted you forward in a way that women typically don't advance?
Yeah, I mean, I don't take no for an answer very often. And I think that there's a lot of men in the music industry that just think that they're going to say something and you're going to obey. As a lot of people say, I don't seem to play well in the sandbox with others sometimes. So I'm learning. I'll be 42 this year. Maybe I'll learn
more. Well, I think life is a journey. We're always learning. Are there questions that you wish you had answers to at points in your career when you seem to have hit roadblocks?
I don't know if I had questions. I think that I wish someone had sat me down when I was younger and kind of just said, this is the journey that you're getting ready to go on. And I taught a class at NYU spring of 2013. And of all of the students who I keep in touch with, they continue to say to me, you just gave me such insightful advice because you told me exactly how it was going to be. You know, I think that there's some very hard realities in the music industry. There are those people in the music industry that would die for you, that you can call at 2 o'clock in the morning, that would do anything that you needed them to. And then there are those people that you think are your friends that are not your friends. And that is a very harsh reality. So I will always say in the music industry, most people aren't your friends. But the ones that are your friends, you better make sure you protect them and nurture them and love them, because it's priceless. And I think that because the music industry is such a social industry, people just immediately think, oh, you know, all of these people are my friends. And then, unfortunately, you have to find out the hard way that they're not. And it's even more disheartening when one of them ends up being a woman that turns on you. You know, my favorite quote is Madeleine Albright, there's a special place in hell for women that don't help other women. And I truly believe that.
It's a great quote. Do you think it's any different being an entrepreneur today than it might have been a decade or two ago?
Absolutely, but I think it's an advantage. The music industry, if there's one thing that it's done over the past probably 5 years to 10 years, it's to give an unbelievable opportunity for people to be entrepreneurs in the music industry and to be successful. Because the old model is dead.
So what are some of the new things that you see taking place that weren't around?
Oh my gosh, think about just artist apps, you know, augmented reality, branded content, everything around social media. It's so exciting.
Yeah,
it's just we all have to figure it out. I'm sorry, say that again?
No, it really is a game changer.
Yes.
What do you think the lies in store in the future?
It's a loaded question. I think that music streaming services are going to completely change. I think that the free model is not working. Taylor Swift pulling her music off Spotify is just the first of many. I think artists are going to come together and they're going to figure out a model that works for them. And I think the question is, how do we figure out an artist model that works for everyone? Because again, it comes back to what I said earlier. Both sides have to be happy with the deal or the deal's not successful.
Right. Yes, very true.
But with album sales declining just year over year over year, and now with all of the success of, you know, branded content, we have to figure out how you monetize that and who owns those rights. Is it the artist? Is it the label? There's just so many kind of unknowns, and we're trying to figure out the roadmap the best that we can, but what everyone needs to realize is we're literally creating a new roadmap.
Must be pretty exciting.
It's very exciting. And I'm so honored and lucky to be able to be at really the crossroads of this, because brands play such a big role in artists' careers these days. You know, yes, it is all about the music. But if a brand can help promote the new album, the new tour, a new initiative, whether it be philanthropic or a new book, whatever the artist may be launching at that time, that's a role that the record label used to play. And now a brand has a seat at the big kids' table.
What do you think are some of the keys to successful leadership in this changing landscape?
Listen to the millennials. Forever in the music industry, I was the young person. I would hear, I've been in the music industry longer than you've been alive. My opinions and ideas weren't respected when I was in my 20s. Now, it's the millennials that are the driving force of everything today. If you look at who brands, who their key demographic is and who they're going after, it's the buying and spending power of millennials. So we need to be listening to them and what they're saying, how they consume music, how they buy music. If you look at millennials and demographic, or like the Nielsen demographic that they, Nielsen research that they have released about millennials, millennials are more likely to buy something based upon their referral of their friends than because of an advertisement. That says a lot.
It sure does. And do you think that people who have leadership roles are listening?
Some are. I definitely am. My company's made up of millennials.
Marcy, are there points that you can look at in your career that really catapulted your business to a new level?
I just had this conversation with someone the other day. Yes. I would have to say that working on the Rolling Stones city sponsorship in 2013 was probably a turning point for my career and definitely for Mac Presents. Is
why?
An unbelievable program to be a part of.
And why was that so instrumental?
It's interesting. I don't know if I can pinpoint it. I think it just took Mac Presents to another level. In a way that we had not really experienced before.
Was it because of who was involved in the deal, or what the deal represented, or was it like a shift?
I think it was the perfect storm. It was the perfect storm. It was all of those things you mentioned, and probably even more that we can't even identify. It's just that my company completely took off after that. I was already doing well before, but just completely took off after that.
Interesting. So what are some of the things that took place as a result?
Working with new brands, having the opportunity to work with so many new brands. So we were working on a lot of different programs with Citi, from the Billboard Music Awards to initiatives around Super Bowl and Foo Fighters Sound City at South by Southwest, and initiatives with Citi around Grammys, The Who Tour, Lady Antebellum, John Legend, Global Citizen Activation, which is the big festival in New York. We had the opportunity to work with Delta and Michael Bublé, Imagine Dragons and Southwest Airlines, booked Foo Fighters for Bud Light for the Super Bowl last year. Just put us on the map in a way that we had not been previously.
It's interesting how there are some points that are really pivotal and really end up being game changers, and sometimes we don't always realize it when we're going through it, how important an event or an outcome is to our success.
Exactly.
I wonder if we could actually go back to something you mentioned earlier about being a stepmom. And a comment that I hear quite frequently from people who are successful business leaders is the challenge of work-life balance. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about your experience trying to achieve work-life balance. and maybe some tips?
I struggle with it every day. It's probably what weighs on me, my mind the most. And I think what I've figured out is there's no perfect solution. You have to be present when you're with your family. You have to be engaged. And I split my time between New York and Nashville. I go to Nashville every other Friday night, so every other long weekend. So whenever we have the girls, I'm home in Nashville. So I fly out on Friday night, and then I fly back on Wednesday morning, and I'm in my office by lunch. And I do that no matter what. And my clients understand and they respect me for that. I'm available on by phone, but they understand that my family is very important to me. And so I make it work. It's a very big struggle. And I was a workaholic in my 20s, and I think that a lot of people don't realize that you can't get that time back. I don't regret how hard I worked in my 20s. But had I had children, that would have been different, because you just don't get that time back with your kids.
Nope. We can make more money, but we can't make more time.
Exactly.
Marcy, what are you working on now that's really exciting?
Oh, my goodness. So much stuff. We're currently working. We just finished wrapping up the Imagine Dragons partnership we did with Southwest Airlines to launch their new album that went number one, Smoke and Mirrors. And they did a performance as part of Southwest Airlines Live at 35 initiative on one of their planes, which was amazing. And we're in the process of working on deals that we brokered on behalf of Citi with Foo Fighters and The Who, and just a lot of other exciting things for this year. I think one of the things that is so inspiring is brands now are becoming so creative in how they leverage and activate music partnerships. So we're excited to be at the center of that and really roll up our sleeves and figure out new, innovative ways that brands can work with artists.
Sounds very exciting. I'm looking forward to hearing more about it.
Thank you.
And Marcy, you spoke earlier about how your grandfather was so influential in your career. I wondered if you could mention one or two other people that have been really pivotal.
Two women who have been mentors to me from the beginning of my career. One is Kara Lewis at Creative Artist Agency. She's an agent. And the other is Marcia Vlasic at Artist Group International, where she is an agent. And both of them have been there for me whenever I've needed them throughout the past 20 years. And I've just felt very blessed to have them a part of my life.
So just being there to support you.
Yes.
That's great. Marcy, what do you like to do for fun? I know you don't have much spare time, but what do you like to do for fun? And I know you're involved in things beyond what you do in your business.
Yes, I'm very philanthropic. I'm on the board of Musicians on Call. I'm also on the board of CMA's Country Music Association. And then I try to still continue to teach whenever I can. So I'm teaching a branding class, a three-hour course at NYU at the end of this month. And so they invite me back from time to time. And so I'm very honored to be able to come back. But my husband and I love to travel. Absolutely love it. And so every year we plan trips. So last year we went to Machu Picchu. The year before that, we went to New Zealand. This summer, we're taking the girls to Paris. Next summer, we're going to Australia. So I love to travel.
Sounds great. Sounds like a lot of fun. Marcy, who do you know personally who's doing remarkable work?
I know so many people that are really working on inspiring things, but Bill Wordy is now CEO of Fenton PR. in New York City, and it's unbelievable. And he just joined this agency as CEO, and they're really doing some really cutting-edge programs with their clients as far as helping them identify green initiatives. And it's just, it's very exciting to kind of see him join such a inspiring company and to see what all he's going to be doing. Because like I said, he just joined like a month or two ago.
Very exciting. And Marcy, please tell listeners how they can learn more about you.
You can obviously go to macpresents.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Marcy Allen. And I'm also on LinkedIn.
Well, you have certainly done so many remarkable things in your career. I feel like we could go on talking about this a lot longer, but unfortunately we're running out of time. So we've got to draw to a close. I wanted to thank you, Marcy, for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau. My guest today has been Marcy Allen, president of music experiential agency Mac Presents. Thank you again, Marcy, for joining us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by 10 Strategic Partners. Be sure to visit our website at smashingtheplateau.com and join our email list to hear many more great interviews like this one. And if you like what you heard, please leave us a review on iTunes by going to smashingtheplateau.com/iTunes. I'm your host, David Schreiner-Kahn, and we'll be talking again soon.